KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN, 97.5. A Gao Media Station.
You all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, you asked for it, you got it. Humidity with cold weather and a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
About damn
bundle
time.
Up out there. Barry likes it. It's snuggly weather. It's snuggly.
Yeah, but I'm weirded out that you're dressed like it's 5 below.
I'm really
and
not.
I'm just in a...
Well, the beanie makes it look.
Yeah, the beanie makes it look. I got a hoodie on and I got sweatpants. Otherwise, I guess because I wear shorts all the time. I have sweatpants on and a hoodie today, but then I wore a light beanie.
But you still
of
have it on and it's hot in here. Like, I'm sweating right now.
Do you know
right
how many times that you or I say the I'm cold and the other goes I'm good? It's just, we're all different.
I feel like a guy from Milwaukee, you should be in, like, a tank top right now.
I feel right? like a lot of people wear beanies when it's 80 degrees outside, so I
well,
don't
those
really
are,
give
yeah,
a rat's.
They're called hipsters.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Wouldn't you guys like, I mean, we all got different kind of hairstyles, but I wouldn't want my head to sweat that much. My head would be like over, like if it's 80 degrees and I'm wearing a beanie, my head is just boiling.
Well,
you want to pay that price to make a fashion statement, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I guess. So. Is that why you're wearing
it
now?
The price when you wear those jeans too, they crunch everything.
What?
I don't wear the incredibly
tight
jeans.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, hipsters, if they're wearing those grape crunchers, that you pay the price there too. Chafing.
I'm wearing my skinny jeans, so I have no comment.
Okay.
I shall not participate in the bashing of the skinny jeans.
Thou shall not bash skinny jeans.
Shall not, no.
All right. So what's up, fellas? We're all here. Not a whole hell of a lot going on in sports unless you want to regurgitate everybody's comments on illegal hits in football and violence again.
Yeah, nothing going on. We need someone to get, like, popped for, like, PEDs or something like that.
Right?
I have something that I am going to admit to, and I'm probably going to catch some heat for it.
Yeah!
And I don't care.
I like it.
But I was driving into work this morning, and I'm coming down the Hardy Toll Road, and I'm exiting to 610. And as I'm doing the on-ramp to 610 from the Hardy, it stopped. There's a cop out front, and there is car after car after car. No other lanes on 610 are open, just the one closest to the ramp, and it's a line as far as the eye can see of cars with their hazards on. It's a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't understand, unless this was the president, and then if it is, then my Deadpool numbers are way up. But why is just a random dead guy stopping traffic? Why?
I got to keep the procession together, Barry.
Okay. But, he's dead, so he's not in a hurry to get anywhere.
But the people that are coming to pay their respects might be.
Well, that's not my problem. Why are you stopping traffic in a major city on a major freeway? I get it if you want me to slow down, if you want me to move over, but to completely stop traffic and shut down 5 lanes on 610?
Yeah, that's a bit excessive.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I get paying the respects, and if you want me to slow down, sometimes I'll pull over, turn my lights on. If it's a 2-lane road, 5 lanes on 610. There's no reason to stop everything at all.
They stopped now, all 5 lanes?
Yeah, there was no cars in the four lanes from the far left to the far right. The only lane that had traffic was the far right lane, and it was all people in the funeral procession with their hazards on, and there were cops swirling all about, including the one that had the on-ramp stopped, and he would go, and then, of course, the next one would go up and stop the next on-ramp, and then they were getting on 45 North, thank goodness, So it didn't take me forever, but I was still like, well, I don't understand that. I guess when I die, I'm going to try to shut down the city. My request is going to be, I want to be buried in Galveston, but here's the route I want y'all to take. We're going to start in Conroe. All right. And then we're going to drive every major highway at least twice. I'm going to shut it all down and then head down to Galveston. I don't even want to be buried in Galveston.
I think all the choppers on the news stations will be covered. It'll be great. Aerials from the Barry 500 as they do laps around the entire area.
I don't get why we had to shut everything down. And I'm sure I'm going to catch
you. I've never seen it like that either, though, because you're right. Usually when that happens, it's usually one, two, maybe three lanes at the most.
Or like normally it's on like the regular streets where they'll block off the intersection until the entire procession gets
through. And not on
the
highway, is what you mean?
But I've never really seen it on the highway.
I've seen it on the highway a lot.
Really?
Where they shut the whole freeway down?
Not where they shut the whole freeway down. I just said like if it's usually one, two, maybe three lanes. Because I've been in a part of a funeral where they had to take the highway to get to...
We all have.
Yeah, I mean it's common for them to take the
I've buried grandparents and aunts and all that. I mean, we've all been a part of it.
Right.
So I've been in a funeral procession, but I'll tell you what, they didn't shut down the whole freeway for any of my family members, nor would I expect them to or want them to. So whoever just texted and said it's about respect, Barry, no, you could chill with that because I've been on the freeways with my dead family, and I don't expect the whole thing to be shut down. That's just... Come on, man. We all got things to do, too. Like I said, he ain't going nowhere.
Isn't it also through a planning process? Don't you normally have the viewing and then the procession to the funeral within a couple blocks of each other?
Not necessarily, no.
No?
Mm-mm.
Most of the funerals I've been to, they do the view, you know, the service.
I mean, that would be ideal, but it's not necessarily...
Nearby to where the burial is happening.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, because you might have moved. You may have bought a plot like my family, a lot of family I have is in Conroe, but they don't live in Conroe. They live somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you might live and go to church on the south side of town, but be buried in Conroe. So you got to get there. So I get it. You go. You have the viewing at the church, and then they haul you up to where you're...
I just had smart friends.
I guess.
I was lucky that way. Because, you know, thinking about it, I don't know that I've seen a procession on the highway. They're always like on Westheimer or Richmond, and that's when they block off the intersections.
Yep, I don't understand. Somebody said Barry's going to hell. That's all right. I tell you what, I'm going to take my time getting there now. I'm going to slow all this crap down.
You would be doing. You'd be wearing a beanie down there.
No, you would.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
You'd be bundled up like Ralphie's little brother on A Christmas Story. By the way, greatest Christmas movie of all time? Yes? Do we all agree on that?
We're going to get into this again.
I'm just saying.
This is going to be an annual thing because every year I'm going to admit I've never seen it.
Oh, that's right. Never mind then. If you haven't seen it, then you don't know what
you're talking
about. I will
try and find it and watch it this year.
I'm a dog walker. I'm wearing shorts and a long sleeve T-shirt. Y'all need to man the F up. I think that was for you, Joel.
Mm-hmm. I took my dogs on a two-hour walk with my wife today in the rain and the 20 mile an hour and the blowing stuff, so you can suck it. So I'm sure you're probably going to the mailbox and back. If you want to go on like a 5 mile walk with your dogs, then maybe you can speak a little bit to me. Other than that, save it for the anonymous text. I don't care.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to the
guy who sits
the text.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking to me. I was
he told the text.
It's 78 degrees in here right now, but you have the beanie on. That's
good.
The part I don't get. I'm gonna can I take a picture of you and tweet
it? No, you cannot.
We'll see if people... Like, now he's like, no. Somebody said the same thing happened to them last week. Didn't get it either. See, they're shutting down. What is this? Why? Oh, you hear that? I guess I'm going first?
Yeah.
All right, way back Wednesday.
Are you sure it wasn't AJ trying to come into work early?
No. Way back Wednesday, our theme today is songs we should hate but don't, a.k.a. guilty pleasure
songs. That's right, yeah.
So this is Fiona Apple's Criminal. Love this song. You don't like the song?
Don't like it.
I love this song. I shouldn't.
It's not bad.
But I do. The video, very erotic.
I do remember the video.
I don't remember if she was of age.
A few of mine were video encouraged on my list today.
I don't remember if she's of age in the video, so I'm not going to speak on it too much. I'm pretty sure she was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She was that young at the time?
I mean...
She could be, yeah. She could have been.
Right? Maybe mid-early 20s?
Very possible.
Yeah.
Well. I will say, too, one that I omitted because I knew I would catch hell for just the song itself. But again...
But that's the whole point.
Was video motivated? Vanity 6, Nasty Girl.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Song's all right, but let me tell you.
No, just wait till we come back from break. Barry's about to catch some heat.
I like it. Now.
It's all right.
All right, heat it up. I'm chilly. All right, anyway, you can call 713-780-3776. That's the HRP listener line. You can call, you can text, or hit us up on Twitter at Barry is funny, at Joel is cold, though, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. We're here till 4. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
I am totally fine admitting that I like this song and the fact that the moon and the sun must be lining up this week because I agree with Barry. It's a good song.
Yeah. You're not supposed to like it as a dude, but you're not. I don't give a damn.
I'm not getting like any of that NKTOB, but
yeah, I was never a New Kids fan, but I'll sing a few NSYNC and Backstreet Boys songs.
I'm with you.
I ain't afraid to admit it. I still think Justin Timberlake was way better when he left NSYNC. Also,
I can't keep track of which bands they were in. Nick Lachey and Justin Timberlake and all that.
Nick Lachey
98
was
degrees,
98 Degrees.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake was NSYNC.
Okay.
Correct.
The Carters?
Who?
Was it Nick Carter and all them?
I think that's Backstreet Boys, right?
The Carter brother? Nick Carter. I think. Yeah, that might be right.
What about the guy that wanted to go into space? Lance Bass.
Oh, the gay one.
Now, yes.
No, he's been gay. He just came out.
All right.
Like, I don't think he caught it like a cold.
It's possible you change what your ways, but
I know,
I don't know what band was he in?
I don't think your sexual preference changes over time. I know like your love of spicy foods can, but I don't know that you just all of a sudden wake up and go, I feel like a dude today. Like, I think I'm gonna go
sometimes
get me
it
one.
Takes a while to figure it out, Barry. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. I'm just asking what boy band that Lance Bass was in.
I think he was in NSYNC also.
Okay.
Lance
right.
Bass.
I think you're right.
Yeah?
Yep.
Guys, I know my boy band trivia. What can I say?
How many posters of them did you have on your wall?
0.0.
Okay.
Never. But I will, you know, turn the song on when I'm in the car by myself and no one's around to laugh at me.
Cool.
So that's what the whole purpose of today is. Way Back Wednesday, songs you hate but you're not supposed to, or songs you love but you should hate,
right.
AKA guilty pleasure songs.
So there you have it. So, the NFL did a little switcheroo on at least one of the penalties that they put down on the players involved in the Monday night fiasco between the Steelers and the Bengals, as George Iloka, the Bengals safety, with the hit on Antonio Brown. He's now not suspended for a game. They rescinded that, just left it with the fine. Yet Juju Smith-Schuster is indeed going to still be suspended for a game. And I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I heard Raheel and Dell talking about it. I wanted to get Lance, and he's somewhere at a doctor's
office
with another medical problem.
Lance was going to join us today at 1:30. He's got pink eye.
Possibly. I'm not going to give his medical records away on the air because you can get sued for that kind of stuff. But
Well, John came up and said no Lance today. He's got pink eye. I don't know that we're giving away any.
I don't think he'll care. I'm pretty sure he'll talk.
We didn't say how he got it. Although I think you can only get it by getting poop in your eye, right? Isn't that how you get it?
That was another rumor that was in the hallways.
I think, well,
you dispelled.
Maybe that was from a movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody farts on your pillow. If you're down, you know, if you do that. If you're eating ass without goggles, maybe that's how you, I don't know.
I don't know. John, are we allowed to say what Lance is out with?
No.
No.
Did you
dump
it?
There you go.
No, I did not dump it.
There you go. I told you.
And then you accused him of eating ass.
No, I said that's how you get it. I didn't say he did it.
No, I thought you heard. I heard you accused Lance of eating ass without goggles.
Yeah, thank you for putting words in my mouth. Like, I need that. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate you, Nick.
But I wanted to ask Lance.
I mean,
about
if that's
that
how you get it, then you do the math.
That is so funny.
I went back and looked at that less than five times.
Okay.
And I get it, like, on a receiver, a defenseless receiver. But when you have a linebacker in pursuit of making a tackle and you don't hit him from behind or the side and you hit him square on squared up and he just wasn't looking.
That's his bad.
That's his
He's
bad.
Pursuing the
That's
play.
Exactly right. That's why I don't get it where everybody's saying, oh, it was so blatant. That's an easy one. He's got to be suspended at least a game. You look at that and then you look at Gronkowski and you tell me that they're equal penalties. I disagree. Gronkowski, that was blatant, and that was the guys on the ground didn't see it coming, hit him in the head.
Yeah,
you know, I go on.
He should have got suspended more than one game.
I agree. So from that regard, I'm all in on the Gronkowski suspension, and like you said, Nick, I would agree. I would be fine if they gave him two games.
Yep.
But for Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't agree with that. I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the Gronkowski. That was obvious. That was a cheap shot. That was uncalled for. However else you want to describe it, he should be fined. He should be suspended. If there's any medical issues that come from it, it should come out of his check. I said that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of with you. I don't know that other than standing over him, which should have been a penalty, and that's about it.
I agree.
I don't think he did anything wrong, really. And I'm not going to feel sorry for it,
no.
For Burfict. For whatever he got, he kind of deserves.
Now, you brought this up yesterday, and I think I'm with it, and I'd like to take it even a step further. But if indeed, if you are fined for something like this and suspended, and the player that you hit is injured, I believe that if that player is out longer than your suspension, that player should be out as long as the other player is out.
Okay.
So, say Antonio Brown, or say the guy, the defensive back for the Bills, say he's got a concussion now and he's going to miss at least a week, but if he misses two, then I would say Gronkowski has to miss two as well.
But this is based on if intentional or unintentional?
Only if it's intentional.
Well, here's the problem with that. If you're the Bills and you're out of the playoffs, but you hate the Patriots, then you can be like, well, he's going to miss the rest of the year. So guess what, Gronkowski? You don't get to play the rest of the year either.
But then you'd have to go to, like, the concussion protocol where you have a neutral doctor that makes the determination on whether he's medically cleared to play or not. Mm. If you're medically cleared and the team elects to not play you, that's one thing. But the same way that supposedly the doctors that check for concussions are not associated and affiliated with the home team.
Yeah.
If you could do it that way, I just think if you hurt a guy, you take a guy out, and that guy's going to miss more games than your suspension, I think you should sit out till he's back. But I get your point.
Titan Hugo said Gronk's just getting ready for his WWE career.
It did look like a WWE move.
Yeah,
it
kind of did.
Kind of top roped it.
Like he wasn't trying to hide it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of reminds me of when Ric Flair, after he would do, like, he would get hit really hard, he would stagger for a minute and then just fall head first. It kind of looked like that.
It did.
They want somebody on text wants us to confirm if the dead guy was Barry Warner. I need to win this death pool to help out my Christmas shopping. No.
Was Barry Warner entered into the dead pool?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think anybody. I was going to take him and Fred just as a joke. But I didn't.
Wow.
I think Joel and Stevie Wonder are the only people that haven't seen A Christmas Story.
Sorry, I'm a fan of Stevie Wonder, so I'm good with that. I was almost going to put him on the list, but I think everybody should be a fan of Stevie Wonder.
Me too. Hey, guys, Alex from Katie. I was the one who recommended today's Way Back Wednesday. Already loving it. No pun intended. All right.
There you go. Dilly dilly. How about that?
All right, Backstreet Boys, the Guilty Pleasure song. Is it bad that I know all the lyrics? No, not at all. That's the whole point, right, guys? You're going to, like, my hour, everyone listening is going to love it. I can't speak for the rest of the show. But mine nailed it.
I'll tell you what. I was going to mention to you on the Gronkowski hit, though. Mm-hmm. And, Nick, it's my bad for not getting you the actual audio on it. But Scott Zolak, who used to be a quarterback for the Pats, is now the radio announcer for the Patriots. He was on the air as that play was going down. And during the play, he said, good, good for him. You're going to hold him the whole way, and basically justified the Gronkowski hit because he was being held during the play and caught holy hell from everybody, obviously, other than Patriots fans, and then had to go back and try and retract it. But it was pretty pathetic that I understand you're a homer.
Right.
And you're on the home broadcast. But come on, man.
Oh, I mean, the guy, they're like, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you can't.
Good, good. Do that to a guy who's holding him the whole way.
Not on the broadcast.
No, you don't do that.
Nope.
That was just dumb.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, if you do it, then you have to know that.
I guess it's how homer the organization is, right?
I was going to say, in related news, the Patriots gave Scott Zolak a 6-year contract extension.
Right.
That's not true, but I could see it happening. Right. And you could see that happening in a heartbeat because that's just the way the Patriots do business. But I've told you guys that before. I mean, even if you're on the home broadcast, there's certain things that, you know, you've got to. There's one thing to keep your integrity up because you can't just say, you know, you can't describe something that people can't go back and check on. So if the ball goes out of bounds and the guy blatantly dribbles it off his foot and goes out of bounds, you can't say, ooh, slip there, that might have been a bad call or something like that. You got to be honest because people can back check you.
Right,
and then
right.
You look like a complete idiot.
Right.
But we were told that if someone was lighting up James Harden, that you should not give that player props, but you should say, hey, it's just one of those nights where the other team is just playing really, really good.
That's no crazy.
What kind of defense. Oh, my God. We got our wrist slaps on so many stupid things.
That just makes me want to turn off the sound altogether.
I'm sure I did that to plenty of people.
Did
throughout
you?
My career. I don't know.
Eric Resendez said, in the Mexican Soccer League, they do it as Pac-Man Joel said, if you injured a player, you don't play until he's back playing. And I think they don't get paid also. Huh. All right.
Now, George, does this song qualify for Way Back Wednesday?
Baby. Yeah.
I mean, I'll allow it.
Yeah, fact check it.
Oh, assistant commissioner's going to allow
it. I'll allow it. But I'm just saying, like,
no,
is this a song?
It.
Is this a song that you should? No, it's not about the time. It's about, like, is this a song that you should hate?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's George Michael.
I don't care. I'm not a
no self-respecting at all dude likes George Michael out loud.
I disagree. I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah. I think a lot of guys
I'm with Joel.
Yeah, secretly.
No.
Oh, really? You think?
I think a lot of guys wouldn't admit they ever liked Wham, but I think that a lot of guys would say they like George.
Thing.
No, it's not, because you got rid of Andrew Ridgeley or whatever.
Like you said, Barry, we'll allow.
And all the neon okay. T-shirt.
You didn't get rid of George Michael's flamboyance. Have you watched any of the videos? The tight-ass jeans and a leather jacket and the perfectly manicured 5 o'clock shadow beard and the long dangly earring. Come on. I mean, he's the same dude.
All right, Way Back Wednesday continues. We're having fun. Hopefully you are, too. We're going to continue to roll on, too. We've got a couple of guests lined up, or at least one now, because Lance dissed us.
Yeah. Sarah Barshop couldn't make it.
So Sarah will join us, tomorrow?
Yeah, she'll be here tomorrow.
Texans. And today, Major League Baseball writer Jeff Passan will join us, and he has a lot of information on a variety of topics. There's a lot going on, including stuff with your Astros. We'll ask him about the bullpen help that we think that they need and what's going on with their offseason plans, as well as many other teams. As the hot stove league is about to heat up with the general manager's meetings over and the winter meetings getting ready to start. So we'll take you through all that as well. He'll join us at 2:30, so don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm okay with this too. Steve Perry or Journey, I'm good with that. Nick, you?
Yeah, I like this track. I didn't know. I honestly couldn't have told you it was Steve Perry, to be honest with you.
Really?
Full disclosure. But I do know this track. And I do like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to.
That's
right. The point. These are songs that we should like. Or we shouldn't like, but we do. So I'm with you. I like it, but it's not something you roll up. You'd be like, dudes, guess what? Steve Perry just dropped a remix of Oh Sherry. I am so hyped.
He is one of those dudes that have, like, a unique voice when he sings.
Yeah. Oh, no, he can sing, though.
Well, I'll say what's weird. Like, if you could ever get Steve Perry to resolve whatever irreconcilable differences he has with Neil Sean and the rest of the members of Journey and actually tour, they would blow it out. But they tour every year, and the bizarre thing is, for that unique voice, they got two guys that sound exactly like him.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy how they can do that.
Yeah, but the minute they come out, everybody's like, because there's so many people that don't get it, that don't know that Steve Perry's not with the band anymore.
Yeah.
And they buy the tickets, they're all jacked up, and this long-haired Asian guy comes out for the first song, and everybody goes, oh, who's that?
I want to say that they got... they were close to a reunion for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Journey got inducted, because I think Journey got inducted and then he still didn't give in.
Did he back off?
Yeah,
really?
I don't think
there's
he did.
Two bands that I know for sure that are like that now, maybe three, and they do all tour a lot. But Dennis DeYoung does Ooh. Not. Dennis DeYoung was the lead singer of Styx.
Okay,
and they had
Mr. Roboto,
a divorce, right?
Right,
and he Don't Let It End and Grand Illusion, all that, and they have not reconciled. And they're still it. And then Lou Gramm was the lead singer of Foreigner. And Foreigner tours all the time. And he went solo and never came back.
Really?
Yeah. But they still tour as Foreigner. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that spend their money on it going, yeah, we're going to go see Back in the Good Old Days. I love me some Jukebox Hero and all that. And then you're like, who's that dude?
I don't think I could name you. I know. I'm sure if you played them, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that song. But I don't think I could name. Isn't Eye of the Tiger Foreigner?
No.
No, who was that?
That is Survivor.
Oh. Okay. So, well, then I couldn't name any Foreigner songs.
You could Hot-Blooded.
Okay.
Jukebox Hero.
Wouldn't have known that. I don't even know what the hell Jukebox Hero is.
I've been waiting for a girl like you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
The Slow Jam.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've Been Waiting is a definite underrated hit. Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't know that was Foreigner. I just would assume whoever.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I hope one of you guys has Britney Spears' Toxic on your list. But that's
I would
not
put it on
prior to 2000.
I do not.
I would have had a bunch of songs, a lot of Katy Perry and Taylor Swift and Ciara's Goodies. All that would have been on my list. But those aren't prior to 2000. That's the rule on Way Back Wednesday.
X-Tina. I would have had an X-Tina or two.
Yep. Somebody said it's Boyz II Men and 112 boy bands. That's the thing.
It's 112, I don't know.
I don't think Boyz II Men would be considered a boy band. It would be considered an R&B group.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Unfortunately,
too.
I think most boy bands are considered to be not R&B. If you're picking up what I'm putting down. No?
They're more pop. I guess.
I think it's more pop music.
And they start younger. I don't know if Boyz II Men have... They were together from like a very early age, but
yeah, and I mean, there's because you can't start just labeling any band a boy band, you know? It's like because if it's just a bunch of dudes making music, I think it's more poppy, preteen or teen type music. I don't think Boyz II Men was that at all.
No, not at all. But I think it was more, and it was also more kind of in that era. That was kind of a term that was thrown around because then every record label was trying to have their own boy band.
Yeah, but I don't think Michael Bivins had any preconceived notion of. Now, I mean, if you want to say like New Edition was a boy band, I would listen to that argument because it was more popish when it came out. Candy Girl and all that.
Oh, I'm very familiar with them. But you really think.
I would say that they were closer to being a boy band than Boyz II Men was closer to being a boy band.
You know why, too, in a lot of cases? Because it was all choreographed. It was the dance moves as well. It was the video era. So they were trying to, everybody was trying to do the showmanship as well as the songs, whereas Boyz II Men just harmonized and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Somebody said boy band equals white boys. All right. So somebody was picking up what I was putting down, too. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a black boy band.
I don't remember any. That's what I'm saying. Like,
there's been a Hispanic one, Menudo.
Yeah, I remember Menudo.
To me, they were a boy band, but I don't think there's ever been a black boy band. Has there?
I can't think of one. And I wouldn't count 112
wait,
as one
what's
either.
The, no, not 112. What's the one?
Lil Windex wasn't part of a boy band.
Lil Windex. Was it All for One?
I swear.
Call Me Bad. But they're not. All the members aren't
I
black.
I swear, right?
Yeah.
Well, they did a remake, right? Are they originators of that song?
No. It was originally a country song,
right.
I think. But I don't think All for One was all black dudes. I think there was a white guy in there. Well, just had, like Color Me Bad.
You had George Michael's illegitimate brother in Color Me Bad. Lead singer looked like a little George Michael.
That's true. He kind of did. But I can't think of one that was an all black boy band. Yeah, see?
Yeah, I'm with you. Silk?
I don't know. No, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Yeah, 112 would be close.
Not really.
No?
R&B.
I'd be like saying Jodeci was close. Not really.
Yeah, don't insult Jodeci.
No, like they were R&B.
Now, here's a call from Jeff.
Okay.
Right? Jeff.
It's kind of a weird request.
Yeah, the title says he's got a request. This isn't Casey Kasem. We're not taking request lines, keeping our feet on the ground, reaching for the stars. It's not a request show, but we'll take the call and see where it goes. Jeff, what's up?
Yeah, I got one for you, man.
What's up?
Back in the 80s, Samantha Fox touched me.
Not bad. That was that was a good one.
She was
You guys rock, man. I listen to you all on the way home from work every day, man. You guys are awesome.
Hey, Jeff, we appreciate that, man. Thanks, man. Thank you so much.
She was a, what do they call it, page six over in England.
She was. Big, very talented. We'll just say that.
Very endowed bench presser.
She was a talented lady.
Yes.
Blessed.
Yep.
Hashtag blessed.
For sure. Nick, right down your alley in certain regards. Not all of them, but certain ones.
She had... is that the video?
Yeah, she is.
Nick's going to be a woman.
She is hashtag blessed.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, she's not really wanting it in the video, is she?
I don't know.
You really can't see it in the video, honestly. I mean, she's got a jacket on. She's got, you know, she.
Really?
She's relatively covered, yeah.
Why the hell are you wearing a jacket in a video
like
called
Touch
Me? Like
a blue jean jacket is what she's wearing.
Oh. Yeah, that sucks. But yeah, she was one for
Nick,
sure.
If you got the video, I'm sure you'll be alone for about 5 minutes. You don't pull the curtain down. I mean, the shade down on the
There's
window.
There's really there. Nothing revealing about the video.
Oh, you Mike said the three of you all are like a boy band without the talent. All right.
Okay.
Hate you, you might. Gotta hate you.
Go grab Baker Mayfield's crutch. All right. Someone said Jackson 5, boy band.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
Yeah.
No way. Just legit band.
Yeah, I wouldn't categorize them as a boy band either.
B2K.
If only one of them had talent?
B2K was a boy band. That's probably a good one.
Okay. You'll allow it, Commissioner?
Yeah, but I'm trying to see where they all black. Yep, that's a boy band. B2K. Thank you. Thank you for whoever texted that in. We have a solution. Or a resolution to it. Yes, there was a black boy band.
That's what our listeners are for.
Perfect.
All right, so we've got some more calls lining up. David, you want to get in here? What's up, David?
Come on, like Jackson 5 was the actual original boy band that were boys.
I won't allow you to disparage the name of the Jackson 5 by saying they were a boy band. I just won't allow that. They were a band.
What about New Edition?
Yes, that's what we threw that one out earlier. Definitely, I think New Edition, of any of the so-called R&B groups that might be closest to a boy band, New Edition was definitely one of them. Very poppish.
Right on, guys. Right on. Love the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I can't allow you guys to just crap on the Jackson 5 name. I just won't. I'll fight anybody. Okay, I don't care that much. That doesn't mean that much to me. This one's kind of close. Another Bad Creation.
Oh, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty close. A lot of people saying Jackson 5, but...
ABC was a spinoff of Michael Bivins and Boyz II Men.
Yep.
For sure. Someone said, and it's just not right, they said boy band was Boys in the Hood. See, that's not right because that's a movie and a band, and they're combining them. Boyz II Men and Boys in the Hood. It's just, you can't do that.
What?
They're trying to be funny.
Who?
Someone texted me.
Oh, tell them nice try.
Yeah.
Okay. B2K, black boy band. That was from Coach Flea. Yeah, we got that. That's for sure.
Thank you, guys, Coach.
NWA, you stop it. Uh-oh. All right, stop.
They're just trying to aggravate you.
Oh.
Oh, NWA.
Yeah.
Are you
going
to be cutting rug now in the hallways during the break?
I might.
See, this is... I feel like...
Where's the bass in this one, though? Did we lose the bass?
Well, you want one with more bass?
Yeah, I need more bass. I need more, like... I need to feel it. I need to feel it. That intro when he's spraying on the wall. Oh, there it is. Yeah. That's good stuff right there. This came up the other day when we were talking about music.
It did. This one seems to pop up some way or another. Every couple weeks, this will pop up on one of our lists.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to like it.
But I feel like now it's okay to like it, but before you weren't supposed to.
Right, in high school, like I said, in high school, I bought the tape, and then I realized I wasn't supposed to like this because it was whack. And so I threw the tape away before any of my friends could find it. And then later on, as I became an adult and didn't care what people thought, then I went ahead and claimed that I liked the song now. I think that's why it's popular again, because we've all gotten past the show.
Yeah, I feel like he's making money on it again.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Talk about residuals. This guy's still got to be rolling in it.
He's got that TV show where he fixes up houses.
Yeah. And before that, he was like kind of X Game-ish. He was doing, he had a show where he was doing nothing but like dirt bike riding.
Really?
BMX, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get you caught up on some of the sports news of the day and continue to roll on. Again, Jeff Passan joins us 2:30, Major League Baseball writer nationally that can talk to us a lot about the Astros and a lot about what's going on in baseball as we get ready for the winter meetings. So if you want to join in, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Here till 4 until we turn it over to the Blitz. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. The next stop, I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday, having fun with some of our songs that maybe you're not supposed to like, but we definitely do, and we are including it in Barry's list, which is our number one as we continue to roll on. And you even added a little Color Me Bad.
Uh-huh.
Why do you always look at me like are you with or against? You got the white man's overbite going right now. Head looks like a turkey.
I like it.
Little George singing.
So cheesy.
This video is very cheesy.
It's incredibly cheesy.
Yeah.
Their facial hair was really cheesy. Didn't the dude have the over-manicured goatee?
Did he?
The George Michael looking dude?
One of them is kind of, yeah. He looks... Yeah, the dude with the black jacket on. Yeah, he matches your description.
Mm-hmm. There you have it.
Yeah.
Coaching carousel in college football is starting to take shape a little bit as Arkansas has hired SMU's head coach, Chad Morris. So he's hiring there. Willie Taggart is officially the head coach at Florida State. Tennessee now is in deep talks. Now, it's weird because ESPN is reporting that they have had second interviews with the defensive coordinators from Auburn and Georgia, I believe. But last night I saw something across the wire, which was Tennessee was getting one of their own back again, that they were deep in discussions with offensive coordinator and former Tennessee quarterback T. Martin, the offensive coordinator at USC, and that Phil Fulmer, who was his head coach and now is the new athletic director there, is trying to bring him back to run the Tennessee program, and that made a lot more sense. But Tennessee, as always, is not going to give us any smoke signals. It's hard as hell to figure out what the hell they're doing there.
It's a cluster over there. What is going on?
No idea.
If I'm a Tennessee alum, I want answers and results, and I think heads have to roll quite a ways up after all of this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, to me, it's just like you got to figure out what's going on and quick. Because along the way, you're losing a lot of other candidates, but it started with the Schiano thing, but it hasn't got better. It's got worse. Then they fired the AD. Now they can't make up their mind on coaches. They're calling guys. They don't want the information out there, but it's all over the world, including Mike Leach. Now, I don't know. It's crazy to me.
It's ugly.
Yeah. Rice has hired Stanford's offensive coordinator.
I saw that last night on Channel 13, and they were talking about the fact that, well, you know, the good news is he knows how to recruit student athletes. And I was like, really? Is
that Stanford?
Yeah.
Oh, Nick. Educationally, Stanford is top shelf.
Yeah, but the point, even the coach has admitted, it's like one of the easiest programs to recruit for. You don't have to have a lot of skills to recruit at Stanford because of the academic, you know, because of their high standards. So it pretty much eliminates a good portion of...
So you know what your recruiting base
is. It's like one of the easiest schools to recruit at is at Stanford.
Because guys that are in the upper echelon.
And I think the Stanford head coach, I don't know if he's still... who's the head coach of Stanford right now? Is it Shaw?
Shaw's
the one who admitted
Shaw.
That.
David Shaw.
When I said David Shaw. Yeah.
My bad.
Brian Shaw played point guard and coached.
Yeah.
Mike Bloomgren. 7 years as the offensive coordinator at Stanford. Before that, he was with the New York Jets in their coaching ranks. But from the standpoint of, I like it from the standpoint to what you got. Look, it is it's a very, very high standard educational institution.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenges are unbelievable. I mean, the challenge is because of the fact, and I've told you guys this before, I think they had the second or third highest endowment in the country. But in almost every case, everybody that contributes money to that university says that money can be used for anything but athletics.
Really?
Yeah. So when Todd Graham got there, he was looking to use some of that endowment to get like new seats in Rice Stadium and a new scoreboard and update everything. And they were like, nope, that's not going to happen. So he literally had to go out there and basically sell it himself to get the investments necessary to get that scoreboard that's there now
that's
and
crazy.
Some of the upgrades. It's a challenge over there.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
When you talk about one hand behind your back.
No doubt, because you got that. And then, like you said, recruiting, you can't really go get kids, you know, from the inner cities and from certain, you know, you can't just, because of the fact that kids are going to be like, man, your requirement, I meet every other school's requirements, but for you guys, in order to get in and play, it's like a step above. And that's tough.
A lot of them, I want to look up the list of players that came out of Stanford and got to the NFL. I want to say every single one of them are incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
Every single last one of them that made it to the NFL, actually made it to the NFL from Stanford, are really smart players.
I mean, you have to be smart to get into that school.
Andrew Luck, quarterback there.
Yep.
You know?
So.
Somebody asked, what about Sumlin? Is Oregon going to get Sumlin? And I think that makes a ton of sense.
It really does.
It makes a ton of sense for many different reasons. I think Mike Leach makes sense out there.
Yeah.
He's proven he can recruit up there.
Think about Mike Leach and Chip Kelly.
But both of those guys, I think, would be the front runners for the Oregon
from
job.
From an offensive perspective, I mean, Leach is a little bit more wacky off the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that both of them love to run that wide open offense, have all the athletes running all over the place. You know, a lot of misdirection, a lot of trick plays, and really go West Coast offense on steroids. It'd be a perfect fit. Either one of those guys, Mike Leach or Kevin Sumlin, I think you'd be doing great.
I think Kevin Sumlin, because I think even despite not meeting the standard at Texas A&M, he still has a good resume at the University of Houston. So from an overall perspective, what he did at the University of Houston and the fact that he coached in the SEC 6 years, I'm pretty sure it was too rich for, was it Central Florida or South Florida he was trying to get?
Central Florida.
So Oregon, I think, might be willing to spill out more money, right?
Oh, Phil Knight with the Nike connection is
going to throw money.
And that's
just if your theory is right. But I tend to believe your theory that maybe Kevin Sumlin was asking for too much money down there in Florida. And yeah. Oregon might be a better fit.
You know, the other thing is Kevin Sumlin is still young.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can still relate to the kids that he's recruiting. You know, the swag copter and he's, you know, that whole, the way he... And I love his demeanor. I've always loved that about Kevin Sumlin. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He doesn't panic. He doesn't... And I think he can still relate to the kids. Now, whether, you know, he builds a different culture in that locker
That's
room...
That's the big thing.
Remains to be seen. But I think that... I'm sure he has recruited up there before, but I'm sure he was focused on the South.
No.
And so it makes sense. So he doesn't quite have the reputation out there, but that might work in his favor.
But it was easy because right here, everything's within, a lot of it's within driving distance,
yep.
Even if you want to take the helicopter. I mean, you recruiting the South and being at Texas A&M and Houston before that, you've got, you know, we used to say this to Kelvin Sampson when he was debating leaving the Rockets to go to U of H. And what are the pros? One of the big pros that Mikhail and I both were telling him were, hey, you don't have to go, but like, across town, and you could get, if you get 5 of the top 25 in the Houston area, you probably got a tournament team every year. You don't have to go like other coaches and fly down to Houston and fly here and fly mm-hmm. there. Now, from someone's standpoint, the only thing, Barry, I'll echo that. I'll say this. He's got to change the culture. He's got to learn from his mistakes. So whether it be his assistant coaches and the hires that and the what he requires of them and is expected of them that go along with that, and just the culture from the locker room as it translates to the field. I think all of that has to change. And if he could learn from what he's gone through, both at U of H, but more so at A&M, then I think it would be a good fit at Oregon.
Yeah, I'm with you in the style of offense and everything else. So, well, we shall see. That's one of the more high-profile jobs that's still out there.
Right.
And he's one of the more high-profile coaches that is available.
So Arkansas's got a coach now. And who I'm trying to think of other openings that are still out there. Rice has a coach.
Somebody texted us and said Kim Jong-un turned down the Tennessee job.
So aside from Tennessee and Oregon, Central Florida hired Josh Heupel. So are there any jobs really still dangling in the wind?
I mean, Tennessee and Oregon.
Nebraska's got a coach in Scott Frost.
Yeah. I want to say that's the
I want to say just two biggest, Tennessee right? and Oregon, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'll do some checking, but I think that's it.
All right, we got some calls lining up. So let's start with Donald on that topic. He wants to talk Aggies football. Donald, what's up?
Hey, guys. First off, real quick, I understand scoreboard. Fisher has got a national championship. But completely honestly, I mean, look at him versus what someone did at A&M. They kind of match up. I mean, 2 years you have a just an out-of-this-world quarterback, college quarterback, and so you do really well. Now, obviously, he had more talent around Winston at Florida State than someone had with Manziel. But, I mean, there was those 2 years with Winston where he didn't have two losses or more. I mean, they just barely get into a bowl game this year. I mean, I'm an Ag, and I want him to do well and everything else. But I'm not sold. I mean, you look at, like I said, look at the record.
Donald,
look at the records of Jimbo Fisher.
I'm going to let Barry talk about the Aggies because he's very well versed on the Aggies. But I'm just going to tell you this. You can't criticize Jimbo Fisher for this year. Because if Francois doesn't get hurt when they were the third-ranked team in the country in the first game of the season against Alabama, the season could have gone completely different. And he did have 2 5-stars behind him. But the problem is those 2 5-stars were freshmen that weren't ready to lead a team. But you look at his recruiting, and you look at the records, and Barry and I have done this on the show, and Jimbo, you can't argue with what Jimbo Fisher has done, and I believe Jimbo Fisher's, Kevin Sumlin's best year was equal to pretty much the norm for Jimbo Fisher for most years.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Go
actually,
ahead.
Look at his record, and it really isn't. Look at his record at Florida State. 3 losses, 4 losses.
No, Donald, first of all, Jimbo Fisher won 2 ACC titles. As well. Kevin Sumlin's never won. I think he won a Conference USA title.
Yeah,
maybe twice. But he's never done anything in the SEC. When you look at, if you want to compare records, Jimbo Fisher's worst year was 9-4. He's got a 14-0, a 13-1, 2 10-3s, a 10-4, 9-4. I mean, if 9-4, if you don't count this year, 9-4 was his worst year. But of course he had this year. But you look, I mean, when you lose your star, if Kevin Sumlin would have lost Johnny Manziel in that first year in the SEC, he might have had a 5-6 year as well. But Kevin Sumlin's best year was 11-2, and it's gotten worse ever since. He went 11-2, 9-4, 3 years of 8-5, and then he's 7-5 this year. So that his best, I mean, his average was 8-5. Jimbo Fisher
you're
averaged about 10 games.
I'm not defending Kevin Sumlin. And you talk about recruiting.
But I'm telling
Nobody
you that Fisher...
that Kevin Sumlin was a great recruiter.
But I'm
Nobody
telling you,
that.
What I'm telling you is Jimbo Fisher, as a coach, as a head coach, had a better record year in and year out than Kevin Sumlin did. And that was their first point, that they were equal. Right. They weren't equal. They weren't even close.
And we've talked about that here, the record. So what else? If we missed your point, what is your exact point that you're trying to make?
Who does the AC have? Clemson? That's it.
I mean, I got to have... It doesn't matter. Are you saying just because of the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, are you saying it's a weaker conference? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this as well.
What I'm saying is that in a weaker conference, you would have to admit that from top to bottom, the ACC, over through just your Bill Fisher's time there, has been weaker than what the SEC has been.
Okay.
And in that conference, he consistently had, you just read out his record, he consistently had 3-4 losses. What are we firing someone for? What did the Board of Regents come out and say at the beginning of this year? 4 losses isn't acceptable anymore. All this other kind of stuff. Well, he's going to a tougher conference now, and he's got the same trajectory as what someone had after he had his first great year, you know, his best years, as you said, with a great quarterback. I'm an Ag. I want him to do great. I hope he does great. But I'm not sold on it, and you know all this other kind of stuff. You look at the records; it's just not that far apart from each other. And he was in a weaker conference.
Well, yeah, appreciate the call. We got to get to a break, but I mean, you're going to discount, I guess, the ACC. I see the argument when you say that because other than Louisville's few years that they
North
did
Carolina
something special
was ranked over the years,
North Carolina State, Virginia Tech. I mean, there's Georgia Tech. There's not a ton of competition in there, but that even speaks to the job that he did to go out and win a national championship without the resume and the pedigree that he could have had in the SEC. So, I mean, all I know is when you look at the records head up, Jimbo Fisher and Kevin Sumlin aren't close. It's
and
not.
The other thing, even from a recruiting standpoint, Jimbo Fisher was constantly getting 5-stars. You and I were talking about this the other day. Even some of the great recruits that we thought that A&M were getting were 4-stars as opposed to the 5-stars. And if you can take Jimbo Fisher's kind of, I wouldn't say stranglehold, but a good lock on getting really top talent out of Florida, and couple that with what he can get out of Texas, and if he can keep doing that and keep going, he's on the right path. Not the path that you're talking about. The first year could be very good if he can just maintain the recruits that he's got going and get some of those from Florida State. So, all right, that's 1 hour in the books, 2 hour to go. Barry's Way Back Wednesday is complete with a little night shift, which, again, I'm totally for. And I hate saying that, but it's true. I've agreed with most of yours.
Darian. See, we'll get to Darian's call next.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Darian, we're going to get to you next. We're going to continue to roll on. Nick, who's got hour number two?
You do.
I will take hour number two. Nick will take hour number three of a Way Back Wednesday. Stay tuned. We got one in the books, two to go, plenty more to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.